several service guests have asked for prayers of intercessions from the children of God on behalf of themselves or on behalf of others. Many service guests, on behalf of their unbelieving spouse or their children or their grandchildren, and on behalf of their families, that they would receive the grace of repentance and would be saved one day to reach the heavenly home. Restoration of family relationships and freedom from alcohol use and escorts to loneliness, a believing spouse, health and strength to take care of own matters. Many have a desire to make it to the summer services next summer. Many have sorrows for their financial situation. They ask for wisdom and strength in their work and to receive clarity for their financial situation. In addition, it is asked for protection of Finland and the Finnish nation. Believing older mother that she would have strength in midst of sickness and that she would be able to make it to services and that those children who have fallen away, that they would receive the grace of repentance. On behalf of a friend, that they would have strength, give strength to trust in the will of God and give strength in midst of illness. He is grateful for everyday bread and for people close to him and for his health. A mother asks for strength in a difficult divorce situation, that the husband that has left the family would be able to receive the grace of repentance and would seek help for himself and repair his relationships with his loved ones, and that the rest of the family would be able to keep their faith. For children of the family to be healed of their illness and for young people to receive a place to study. A mother on behalf of her family for her own well-being and for resources when they feel they are so depleted on and with difficulties with spouse and challenges in life. She prays for her spouse's help and for her own strength to live and trust in God's plan. Service guest thanks for on behalf of himself and his mother and for the grace of repentance that he has received this summer and for the miraculous guidance that they have received in their life. Sister, that her mother may be able to heal from a difficult illness and for strength for herself and her family. She thanks for the close, for her close ones and for the gift of faith. A grandmother for her confession school son, that the young person's faith would become clearer. A mother for her child in the army, faithful friends and strength for her mother's son. Service guest, that no one would bully another and that everyone would treat each other with respect. A lonely man prays for peaceful life and that distractions would be removed from his life. A service guest for a difficult sexual addiction and that God would allow himself to get rid of difficult thoughts. He asks for strength for a tribulation that lasted through years, and for issues that they have caused many, that the Heavenly Father would deliver them from many doubts of faith, and if they are on the wrong path, that they would guide them to the right path. Those who have doubts, that they would yet be able to have the joy of believing. Sister to a difficult courtship, she prays for God's plan. At the same time, she prays for confidence in God's plan, and at the same time, she wants to give thanks for the courtship relationship and for loving friends and family. She gives thanks also for the opportunity to study and to live in peace as a believer. That her friends would support one another in faith matters. They also ask for believing spouses. They are grateful that they have been able to stay in faith and that God has granted them believing friends. A service guest, that the traumatic happenings that happened over 10 years ago would be able to be put away by confronting those people of that situation. Several service guests for reunion of parents and for clarification of issues between spouses. They pray for blessing and protection and strength to take care of all matters. Thank you, Father, that I may trust and find security in your help. Also, children, thank for the gift of reunion of their parents and the miracle of that, and that God would strengthen the love of the family and would take care, and that the family would be able to keep their faith. Many service guests thank for their close, dear friends, and that they have been able to themselves stay as a child of God, and that God has taken good care of them. Parents thank their God that they have been able to endure through many difficult situations. They give thanks that they were able to trust in the guidance of Heavenly Father, and the family was blessed with a newborn baby. Bless the family. Bless all those who have remembered the family and those who have experience trauma and sickness and difficulty. Give them angels to walk beside them. Heavenly Father, hear our prayer. For you, everything is possible. For the introduction of the sermon, I have thought to read also from the Jesus farewell speech from Gospel of John chapter 14 from verse 23 unto verse 29. And these words are heard in Jesus' name as follows. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the fathers which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto them. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And how now I have told you before it came to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Amen. Jesus was having a conversation, this farewell speech with his disciples. And as we heard earlier today through our brother Arto, we already heard of the next chapter of this branch of wine. And we were able to hear in what context this farewell speech was kept. This was during Maundy Thursday. And before that, it was preceded by a little bit earlier the work of miracle from Jesus when he awoke Lazarus from the death. And for that reason, many of the Israelites had decided to kill Jesus and also Lazarus so that this would be put to an end. And after this, Jesus in the home of Lazarus was visiting there, and there Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to the speech of Jesus, and also Lazarus. They were listening both. And Martha, as was accustomed to her, she was serving them. In those little home services, it was good to be there. Even though it doesn't mention here in the scriptures that there were others there, is it not so, dear brothers and sisters, dear travel friends, is it not so that it is not from the number of people here, it is not a matter of the size of the crowd, that we would be able to be in touch with the Holy Spirit? For Jesus has said, wherever there are two or more that have gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. Is it not so, travel friends, that this is a secure outlook as the end of these summer services approaches, that we would think of this especially, that we have an opportunity to yet again continue securely on the way and journey there in the midst of the home Zion. And some of you and many of you there, even at the lonely watch posts. And so for that reason, Jesus has said in the beginning of this chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Of course, in someone's thoughts, maybe those matters of the coming days, the Heavenly Father knows your matters. You can, as a child of God, face them in complete security, trusting in His guidance and protection. Even at those home services, I will continue from there, where at the home of Lazarus and Mary, it tells how at some point Mary took a full bottle of very expensive nardus oil and anointed the feet of Jesus and dried them with her hair, and the whole room was full of the smell or scent of this oil. I looked up what that nardus oil was, and we know from history that it was from the hills of Tibet, from Nepal, that they were from a rare plant that grows there on the slopes of Nepal. It was squeezed from its roots. You can imagine the amount of work that went into it to get a little glass bottle like that. Whatever that bottle was made out of, it was been sealed with wax, and it must have often broken, and that the oil would have spilled from there. In other places of scripture, it says that this bottle of oil had cost 300 denars, and the one denar was equivalent of one man's daily wage in those days. So from that we can calculate that the value of the bottle was almost a man's wages for a year's work. When this thing happened, Judas Iscariot, who then at that time was with them, he exhorted this Mary's actions. He disapproved them. Why would this money not be given to the poor? Not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. Judas kept possession of the money of the disciples, and he kept that money as his own. And so then Judas's own and the mutual money of the disciples got mixed up, and Judas was not able to take care of that matter, not even then at the evening of the Maundy Thursday dinner, close by to Jesus. But this event at the home the heart of Mary was spilling over from the touch of the Holy Spirit when she had received all her sins forgiven. Do I remember correctly when I remember that this Mary was this sinful woman whom Jesus freed from stoning, sentence of stoning. Whether it was this way or some other way, nevertheless, Mary experienced such a great mercy for her own sake that she had received for her own behalf, and the Holy Spirit glorified in that occasion that it nothing mattered to her, not her past life, not this precious anointing oil. And comes to mind, which I will say aloud, that even in this time, we all have, with sisters and brothers alike, we may have had those very precious matters, items from this world, which hook us and may affect in such a way this matter of faith becomes wayside, or there is a danger of that faith becoming less important, and we may be led astray to even good things, but which are a danger to our faith. Even at these summer services, you may have younger or older travel friend, you may have had such an enlightening moment when listening to a sermon where you have rejoiced and thanked in your heart that God has been, God's word has approached your own heart, and you have felt it in your heart, and you have made those promises, those sacrificial promises that I will leave this or that matter. And it is as if the Heavenly Father has enlightened the destination of faith, and he wants to clear away all those obstacles from before us so we may travel freely. And as we heard before us by our brother, how Jesus had washed the feet of the disciples, so also in these summer services, Jesus has come in your midst through his Spirit through his word, and this word has cleansed you, and you have been able to sit freely, joyously, and with peaceful mind, restful mind, and you would like to keep this feeling. Just like on the mountain where Peter, Transfiguration Mountain, where Peter, James, and John were with Jesus, they said, "It is good to be here," and they would have liked to remain there to live. And Peter suggested that they would build houses for themselves there, three houses for Moses, Elijah. There they opened both the old law and the scriptures of the prophets, which were the word of God of that time. Now we have had at these summer services, in addition to those, we have had the New Testament. As whenever we have begun a new sermon, every time there has been some scripture portion, either from the Old or the New Testament, which has been read for the introduction of the sermon. And this tradition has been continued all the way from the time of Jesus, according to the example of Jesus. When Jesus began his ministry in the temple, he opened the scriptures and began to read it and to explain it. So this red text that we read, it began with the answer of Jesus, "If a man love me, he will keep my words." Jesus answered to the other Judas, when within the disciples there were two Judases. Iscariot had already left, and there were 11 disciples remaining. And then this other Judas asked Jesus, "How is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" And then this red text is the answer of Jesus, "If a man love me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." And then Jesus says, "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." First of all, we can see from here that the word is not read word, but it is heard word. It is the word that you hear. So the Holy Spirit affects in this way in the kingdom of God. Through the sermon of the Holy Spirit, and only through that way faith can begin and stay. It can be that there are people, if there may be even listening to this online, those types of people who own this matter without understanding this, that the Holy Spirit does this salvation work only through his congregation, through God's congregation. It has also been for the disciples a matter of wonder, time of wonder, that in the midst of this great multitude of people of all the nations, that there is this small group who have the Holy Spirit. For Jesus speaks of this before this text that I read, of the promise of the Holy Spirit. "I turn to the Father, and I will give you another Comforter, who is with you forever. The defender is the truth the world cannot receive, but you know him, for he abides in your nature and is in the making. This farewell speech is especially meant for the children of God. But there may be those listening who are not partakers of the grace. Dear friends, listen to this sermon, you also. Those who do not obey my word, are not obedient to my word, they do not love Jesus. No matter how much you say slogans of Jesus, no matter how much with your own strength, there, wherever you work, but if those works are not from the kingdom of God, then they would not be works of the Holy Spirit. We heard through our brother Arto in the next chapter of the vine branch how Jesus explains, illustrates this, how he is the tree and you are the branches. And in this context, and in this fellowship is where it is good to be. And if you, as an outsider, feel this honestly, be diligent and repent when it's still possible. When in this world there's so much talk about love, and even at these services in many sermons it is spoken of love. What is the correct love and what is wrong love, false love? I also do not want to be beating anyone, but we must stay in truth in these matters. When Apostle John, of whom I cite here in his first chapter, it is written, or he has written, law has been given through Moses, grace and truth has come through Lord Jesus Christ. When we, children of God, are sometimes criticized that we would be law-minded or so narrow-minded. So, friend, look at this portion then, how Apostle John separates the law which has been given through Moses. He separates it from truth and love. People easily mix up the truth of word of God to the law. They see it in this way when they do not have the Holy Spirit. Only one who owns the Holy Spirit, a child of God, understands what is the purpose of law. It is to awaken an unbeliever to see his own situation, condition, that every man shall make repentance here on earth and to the correct place, to that place where there is the correct faith. For the scriptures only speak of one correct true faith. In my Friday sermon, I didn't mention Esau, who was brother of Jacob, who came to his father to receive the blessing after Jacob had already received it. Isaac was not able to no longer give that blessing of the firstborn, because there is only one blessing. And so also Esau said, crying, "Do you only have one blessing?" At that time, there was the firstborn right, and we can read from the scriptures that the firstborn was received a twofold inheritance compared to other children. Now Jacob, who this right no longer belonged to, he was able to receive it from grace. I have thought that, as it is sung in a Song of Zion, that in twofold we have received in life. Who takes this portion is blessed. And then briefly to this matter, dear friends, whom we love so dearly as children of God, you who are yet not partakers of this grace, we want to, in addition to the grace, we want to show you the truth, that it would be revealed to you this matter of faith. Yes, it is here already spoken of in several sermons of the twofold commandment of love. Love God first with all your mind, soul, and body, and then only after that to love your neighbor as yourself. I have learn to understand this simply so that in this time the order has been turned upside down, that the love of the neighbor, the work of love towards our neighbor, has been made God. And this first part, this loving of God, has been put aside, and this word of God has been put aside. I have heard that some have received the grace of repentance when they have noticed in their time this. In this time, they have noticed that it is taught so bluntly that the works of love are so important, and that it is important to tolerate and understand all that, even those that have been said to be sin in the scriptures, which is most clearly seen in the matters of marriage. Here, in those matters, it is clearly obvious that the love of man is human love. There is no Holy Spirit in it, even if you would like to think it is. But man must submit to take care of his or her own matters first before God, to love God above all, from all soul and mind and body. And when he or she has received the grace of repentance and to be able to be a child of God, only after that man is able to love his or her neighbor in a correct way. Although externally they may look like similar works, it is man's self-righteousness, and there is the children of God's righteousness of life, which are acts of love. So many of you have diligently organized these services in many ways. I can't help to return to this matter, which was already mentioned in the previous sermon, how Jesus said to his disciples in this way, "I no longer call you servants, for servants do not know the intentions of his master. I call you my friends instead, for I have given you knowledge of all things which I have heard from my Father." I think of you, brothers and sisters, who have carried this workload on behalf of these services. I can guess this, that when I have seen from your joyous faces that it has been good to be here, it has been your pleasure to be here. Is it not so that it is the same matter, same thing for all of us? No matter what we do here or work for here on behalf of the congregation of God, it doesn't matter what it is, but it is important that we are able to confront and meet our dear travel friends. So I also have experienced. I am not at the place of a servant, but I can be a friend of Jesus. This is how we all experience it. When we are able to correctly experience it, that when we from here leave and go home, we want to, from our hearts, to be close to Lord Jesus. And it is possible when we are in fellowship with those travel friends at our home Zion, those brothers and sisters. And it is a great way to, within midst of big Zions, large Zions, to a good way to learn to know your brothers and sisters is to take part in the work of the Zion. This is what I was thinking when I said that there someone listening to the word might have had a warm feeling in their heart, that they feel thankful that they are able to be part of this flock that is traveling on their way to home in their heaven. It makes us work. Love makes us work. In the farewell message of Jesus, this prayer of Jesus can be heard, that you in goodness would be preserved, as I remember with my own words. We know to be prepared for this, that the enemy of the soul does everything in his power to break the love of the children of God. And if he is successful in this, then he is able to further and further push and to make to do evil. So therefore it is important to preserve love, mutual and brotherly love. Then comes to mind this scripture portion, that we would not be only listeners of the word, but also the makers of the word. That is what Jesus means here when he says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And he's obedient to the Holy Spirit, even in midst of everyday life, not only in services, but also there in daily life, everyday life. There is a good grace altar there to take from it whenever we need. And this is why I want to especially want to remember those you young ones who you have been here at these services in great numbers. I know this, of which Arto brother already spoke of, the phenomena of this time. That it may be difficult to come to services. I do not repeat what Arto said or what causes are behind it. But I know that in our midst there are, in this time, those young ones, youth, who are not able to come in midst of such a great multitude of people. They feel afraid. And it is so important, so easy to make the wrong conclusion from this, that if I do not attend services, that now I must give up my faith and to leave this kingdom of God. Dear young people, you who are struggling either with these types of matters or with other matters, you are somehow at the edge of the kingdom of God. You yourself do not know if you are believing or not, but you feel your faith to be weak. I must say that knowing this matter on my own behalf also, this is a matter which is for me one of the most important matters, which I want to say aloud, that be you, young friend, be of good cheer, be encouraged to believe, they're listening online as you hear the word. Be encouraged to believe, all your doubts and temptations and sins forgiven, Jesus' name and atoning blood. And open your word to speak if you receive strength for that. To speak to a friend, close friend, or a family member, and to and the Heavenly Father will open the way to heaven for you. He wants to keep you as his dear child. And that you would be able to joyously make journey here in the kingdom of God. And to you all, brothers and sisters, I want to, in the end, the same gospel I want to proclaim to you, that you may securely leave from these services there to your home, there here were those words, I will leave you peace, my peace I give unto you. Be encouraged. You may remain believing, even the latest temptations and doubts, all sins forgiven, in name and blood of Lord Jesus Christ, unto peace, freedom, and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. I yet want to ask for my own self, this same gospel, may I believe, all my sins forgiven. I promise to remain believing together with you. In Jesus' name, amen.